This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Texans face the Chargers this Sunday at NRG. 3:25 kickoff. Texans looking to improve to 2-1. Chargers looking to do the same. Here's Bill O'Brien on the challenges that Phillip Rivers brings to the Texans defense.
He's got an ability to get it out quick, and he sees the rush, and he feels the rush, and he sees the coverage, and he knows where to go with the ball, and that's years and millions of plays of experience. And his dad was a coach; he's been around football his whole life, and he's a great player.
Coach's kid, good teammate.
What does that have to do with anything right now?
It does matter. No, my experience over the years has been. Coaches' kids really do know more.
Yeah, well, Deshaun's wasn't, so what's that mean?
It's not a necessity.
Bro, he's been in the league since 2004, yeah, no, J-Lo.
That's why I was kind of making fun of it, because
15 years ago.
In this case, it doesn't really matter nothing, because he's freaking, he could be a head coach himself anytime he wants. What I'm saying is, like especially high school players going into college, to me, that does matter. Yeah.
It's crazy. The 2004 draft class, the quarterback draft class, how Phillip Rivers this week, he's the lone survivor.
Yep.
You had Eli Manning benched, Ben Roethlisberger out for the season, and Phillip Rivers still doing what he does.
How about just that class?
It's a damn good class.
Yeah.
Eli Manning refused to play for the Chargers, and that's how they got Phillip Rivers. Speaking of that Texans defense, Whitney Mercilus, he is the AFC Defensive Player of the Week. 3 sacks, an INT, and a forced fumble 2 weeks into the year. Safe to say he's going to get paid. Safe to say that he's liking the new role that he has without J.D. Clowney.
It's good to have a good position, your natural position, back again in a contract year. That's a good thing. And credit to Whitney, because you don't get these sacks by accident just because you're in your favorite position or it's a contract year. But he's put it all together at the same time.
Special teams news yesterday. Trevor Daniel, the second-year punter, he is cut. They bring back in Brian Anger. So we've had Bill O'Brien cut Aaron Colvin after week one. Heading into week two, he benches Shontrell Henderson and then Trevor Daniel cut. Those are 3 new faces from the 2018 season that are either gone or have had – demotions just 2 weeks into
the
year.
Made a big transition or decision every week, right?
Yep.
Colvin.
Yep. You can really say there's 2 heading into week 2.
Then Shontrell. Now Trevor Daniel.
What's next?
I don't know. What is next?
I don't know.
We'll see. I keep hesitating. We need a.
What are you hesitating for?
No, I've said this. I'm saying I'm hesitating to believe this. I'm actually more posing the question now.
Pose question.
The question I've posed is very simple. Is Bill O'Brien too hasty? Is he going to be too hasty with his decision making now that he's in charge of the personnel and the team? We've seen some pieces of evidence here. Deonte Foreman.
Well, it worked out.
Kind of hasty.
But it was a good. It was
well,
a good,
Deonte Foreman did work right. out, but for a while there, it wasn't looking great.
But he proved it right.
Right. No, I'm just saying, and so I'm asking the question. Like I said, I'm not ready to say, okay, you know what, this is true. He is a little bit, but let's look at the pieces of evidence. Deonte Foreman, pretty hasty there after hailing him and his and the way he looked coming into camp. Obviously, Jadeveon Clowney. We know, I don't know if that was hasty or just him not getting along or whatever. But O'Brien made that decision. Then you get to Aaron Colvin, cut. After 1 week, then you make the decision after Shontrell Henderson had a bad. Day, you go with Roderick Johnson at right tackle. Now this week you cut the punter after 2 games.
That's the only one I don't know about, but I think if we're being fair to B.O.B., I think the decisions that he's made, Deonte Foreman ended up being the right choice. Carlos Hyde's better than Deonte Foreman. Duke Johnson, you traded for him. Aaron Colvin needed to be cut. I think probably he could have been more hasty and cut him before the season started. Shontrell needed to be benched. I think that was the right choice. I don't know much about this punter. My concern about Bill O'Brien with all this power isn't necessarily his willingness to bench people, because I actually like it and he looks smart on it. It's his ability to look in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
That's what worries me the most, in that there's all this accountability everywhere, but I don't know that he's able to look in the mirror and say, I did a bad job. I did this the wrong way. That's my biggest concern.
I have a different one that's in the same category there. I think he's hard on himself. I think he's tough on himself. I don't know if he's going to be able to change his stripes. That's one of the big questions that's going to be answered this year. But another question that's going to be answered this year, and heaven forbid this happens, but let's say this offensive line is struggling after 7 weeks. Is he going to hold Mike Devlin,
no,
the offensive line coach,
never,
to the same standard that
never
he's holding these players?
Never.
I don't think he'll do it during the season, but he might do it at the end of the year. It's self-preservation, too.
I don't know. I don't know that we're ever going to see Mike Devlin
and that's
not
a big
be the offensive
what
line coach here.
I mean, they could just be mauling people starting this week.
I think they have the personnel to do so. Mm-hmm. I think they do. The reason that I have these expectations is because I think the talent on this roster is good. But Chargers, Texans, Sunday, 3:25. The week after that, they're going to face the Carolina Panthers. I'm calling my shot. I don't think Cam Newton's going to be in the lineup for Carolina. This after seeing what we saw last Thursday night against Tampa Bay and Ron Rivera going to the podium yesterday to address Cam Newton's situation.
He was with a trainer for the most part all week.
Did he have to undergo X-ray, MRI?
I don't know all that details as far as that stuff's concerned.
Do you know how long?
I have no idea. I have no idea. What he's going to do is he's going to get his treatment, and we'll see how he feels, and we'll adjust it as we go through it.
Martin, you mentioned that he was in the building today doing some rehab. Did you have an opportunity to speak to him yet?
Yes, visited with him, and he's going to do everything he can to get back out as soon as he can.
And getting the best quarterback on the field and putting Cam on the field versus ensuring that he's healthy long-term and preserving him.
Well, I think at the end of the day, nobody will know better than him.
I think he does know more. I wouldn't expect him to say any more than that, though, because clearly, there's something going on with Cam Newton, and I think he's just protecting him. And also, there's a little bit of an uncertainty there, because maybe Cam does get better. We'll see. Maybe it's surgery. All I know is I wouldn't expect him to play against the Houston Texans in 2 weeks.
Okay. I would not either, and I've already called my shot. I'm getting my Babe Ruth on.
Mm-hmm.
Did the Dolphins general manager take a shot at the Houston Texans?
Well, let's hear it.
Here is Albert Breer on Twitter yesterday. He was talking about a conversation he had with Dolphins GM Chris Greer. Breer asked Chris Greer, so this isn't like people in the organization. He's naming the Dolphins GM by name.
Yeah.
This is from Albert Breer. Dolphins GM Chris Greer and he were having a conversation about the Laremy Tunsil trade. This is the quote that Breer put out from Chris Greer talking about the trade that sent Laremy Tunsil and Kenny Stills to the Texans in exchange for 2 first-round picks and a second-round pick. And it's a trade that a lot of people feel that the Texans probably gave up a little bit too much for. This is Chris Greer. Quote, "They kept pursuing us." He then said that Chris Greer said that Tunsil came into his office, saw the terms of the trade on the board, and said, quote, "I would trade me for that."
The answer is whether he meant to or not, that is a shot. That's like, oh my gosh, they're willing to pay that much. The general manager, and also even Tunsil to a degree, but Tunsil was just reacting. But the general manager basically saying, how am I going to say no to this deal? You know, whether he meant to or not, that's a shot. If not a shot, it's certainly an opinion that the Texans got fleeced a little bit, in his opinion.
There was also a report that they would have given up Kenny Stills for a fifth. So it could have been 2 firsts and a fifth instead of the second. But Bill, according to the report,
yeah,
O'Brien basically just started with the 2 and they were just like, oh
sure.
Okay.
It's like going into a car dealership. I know it's listed at $35,000, but can I pay $45,000?
No. You know, like when you're going to sell something and you don't really want to sell it, but you want to get rid of it, you don't care, and you're like, what do you want to pay? And they could pretty much say anything, but they're like, I'll give you, like, let's say you want $50 bucks for it. How about $200?
Yeah, sure.
Gotcha.
Sure.
There we go.
Is now a good time to buy a car? Yeah. Ask a salesman that. See what he says. God, no. No, don't do it now. Come back in 6 months.
Patriots going around the NFL playing the hits on here in the loop. They're placing starting left tackle Isaiah Wynn on IR per source. He's going to miss at least 8 weeks as a result of a foot injury. This the year after he missed his entire rookie season with an injury. Is it safe to say that the New England Patriots will be calling the Washington Redskins to inquire about the services of left tackle Trent Williams?
I think the Patriots are probably going to be on Jalen Ramsey, for God's sakes. They're on everybody right now.
If Jalen Ramsey goes to the Patriots, I retire.
It's over.
I retire.
It's freaking Grinky coming to the Astros.
It does seem like that happens all the time. It does seem like that happens all the time. Patriots looking for a left tackle, though. Just another break for the Texans. Mm-hmm. Breaks continue to come. Here's the big stuff that's happened the last 3 days in the NFL. Eli Manning's been benched for Daniel Jones. Minka Fitzpatrick was traded to the Steelers from the Dolphins for a first-round pick. Jalen Ramsey has requested a trade. Big Ben was placed on injured reserve with an elbow injury. The Steelers then signed Broncos QB Paxton Lynch to their practice squad, who I think is a slimeball for wearing sunglasses in a bowling alley on draft day, but that's neither here nor there. Drew Brees was sidelined for roughly 6 weeks with a thumb injury. Teddy Bridgewater will start. And Adam Vinatieri says he is not retiring, but he needs to get the quote. This is the best kicker of all time that's been doing it for over two decades. He's not retiring, but he needs to get the demons out of his head. When you hear the best kicker of all time say that, and you take into account that he's 2 of 5 on extra points and 1 of 3 from field goals, what's your reaction?
It's the yips. Tiger Woods got the yips. It's putting. Kicking in the NFL is like putting in golf. I mean, it's just, you know what they say about golf? It's a simple game played by complex people. And that's...
I always hated that quote.
It's true, though. The less you think, you know, just grip it and rip it or whatever. But kicking is putting. The NFL's version of putting. And right now he's got the yips. Bad. I mean, bad.
I've always thought that kicking is like an approach shot because you have to factor in the wind. A lot of times when you hit a bad approach shot, what's a bad shot at 160 would have been good at 140. So a lot of times a kicker will miss from this distance. I've always looked at it as kind of like timed golfing, timed approach shots.
And you do have, you know, curving it one way or the other and all that stuff.
Yep. Yeah. Adam Vinatieri, my goodness. You could say another break for the Texans. If you would have told me at like 5-6 weeks ago, whatever it was, Andrew Luck's going to retire and Adam Vinatieri is going to be talking about getting demons out of his head.
Yeah.
I would have signed up for that. Astros, they're officially at full strength. Carlos Correa returns yesterday. Let me preface that.
Well, their
full
lineup
with the lineup. Yeah, the bullpen, not quite there. Still waiting on Brad Peacock and Ryan Presley. But the lineup was at full strength yesterday. Justin Verlander on the mound. It was actually a pitcher's duel in the bottom of the fifth. Yuli Gurriel. Did I do that good?
You did excellent.
Gurriel at the plate. Wait, hold on. Let me do this all over again. Now you think I might be taking it too far. Are you ready for this?
What's that?
Yuli Gurriel at the plate. Quattro bags, Senor Bellhop.
This ball hit to right field. Back goes Mazzara on the warning track. Leaps, and this ball's gone. Yuli Gurriel.
you put a little bit too much. You went a little LeBron on that.
Taco. How do you say four bags, Mr. Bellhop, in Spanish?
Cuatro bolsas, por favor, señor.
Okay, I like that. Now let's go back to the English version because in the bottom of the sixth with the Astros up 1-0, the 2019 MVP, also known as the baseball messiah on this show, four bags, Mr. Bellhop.
Two against Seattle. Bregman drives one deep to left field. It is 2-0 Astros up on the train track.
So we got that 2-0 right after Alex Bregman. I know you don't speak Cuban, John Lopez, but can you give me your best Cuban four bags, Mr. Bellhop, for Yordan Alvarez?
Oh my gosh! I know because it's insulting.
Just try it.
The Cuban
just
accent is
just try it.
It's very choppy. Cuatro bolas. Hold on. Cuatro bolas, señor. I mean, it's very choppy.
Yordan drives one to center field, and this ball is crushed. Air Yordan. Now with direct flights to Hawaii, it's 3-0 Astros.
Espanol, English, Cuban home runs for the Astros.
It's still Spanish.
Solo shots.
It's Cuban Spanish.
It's just different. It's a little bit different. Verlander goes 6. He doesn't allow a run. Astros win 4-1. 10 games remaining. They are 99-53. and they are tied with the Yankees for the best record in baseball. This is going to be a fun, fun time. And oh, by the way, 13 days till the playoffs start in the MLB. So we're going to get to see the Houston Astros, hopefully with a full-strength bullpen to join that lineup. It's going to be interesting to see. They're going to be back at it tonight against the Texas Rangers. I want to shout out one of my best friends, Jared Sandler. He's getting the call for the Rangers on their broadcast.
So, oh, nice.
Very proud of him. Ted Emmerich, who's been on the show as well, he's going to call the Cowboys-Saints game. Brad Sham's missing the game,
oh,
and he
really?
Handpicked Ted to call the Cowboys-Saints. So just shouting out some guys. And, oh, by the way, can I make you feel old?
You absolutely can. I wouldn't appreciate it too much, but I know you will.
Craig Biggio's son, Kevin, hit for the cycle last night.
Loved this.
What was your first encounter with Kevin Biggio?
He was walking around the back of the backstop, probably 2 or 3 years old, bouncing around.
Bouncing around, man.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden he's hitting for cycles in the MLB. We are both college football guys. This is one of the biggest, this is the biggest college football weekend so far this year. I know Texas A&M and the Texas game couple weeks ago was huge, but this is from beginning to end one of the best college football weekends of the season. You got number 11 Michigan at number 13 Wisconsin at 11 a.m. That's on Fox. When it's on a major network, you know it's good. After that, 2:30 p.m. number 8 Auburn at number 17 Texas A&M. That's on CBS.
Yeah. I've already made it. Almost 2 gallons of barbecue sauce.
And yeah. I got some, and I appreciate the OG sauce.
Figure you got some, too.
Yeah, yes, and I tried to steal his, but didn't work out for me. 6:30 p.m.
Ribs and chicken, by the way.
Oklahoma State at number 12, Texas on ABC. And then 7 p.m., you're going to have number 7, Notre Dame, at number 3, Georgia. John Lopez is going to be in attendance in College Station. Ribs and chickens, what you're going with?
Yeah, I do the entrees.
No sausage?
They're going to do, well, we thought about it, but I'm going to smoke the ribs and chicken Friday night. That way I can just get up early, go Saturday, and just warm them up, you know, at the tailgate. The sausage, if we have some, we might throw that on there.
By the way, A&M's favored.
I saw that. Yeah.
Favored.
I saw that.
They're better than Auburn.
I think they are.
They're a lot better than Auburn.
I spoke at the
– way better.
I spoke at the Aggie Moms Club.
What?
I got a life, man. What? Aggie Moms.
What is that? What is that?
It's parents of Aggies. Moms of Aggies.
What did you tell them?
They invited me to go speak about the season and stuff last week. And
like, what?
They did.
So you just went to...
It was MILF Central. It was... It was Cougar Central.
That would be HEB, my friend. that would be HEB.
No, up in Kingwood Humble, and they asked me to speak. And I think I surprised some of them because some of the husbands came too, you know, because they wanted to.
Were you happy about that?
Yeah. Well, sometimes. But I told them, I said, don't worry about this one. And I could be dead wrong, but I'm with you. That's where I was going. I think they're better than Auburn. Now, we still got, you know, to worry about Georgia.
Auburn's
and,
not the eight.
Alabama and
Auburn's,
LSU.
Auburn's not the eighth best team in college football.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Yeah. No,
like,
I
not. A&M's better. It's at home. We know what Kyle Field brings. There's going to be 100K, whatever the hell y'all call that side-to-side crap that y'all do. Y'all going to be doing that. It's going to be interesting. Just another college football nugget here. This is extremely interesting to me because we're talking about Auburn. And Gus Malzahn, the coach at Auburn, apparently on the hot seat. And this is courtesy of Sports by Brooks. He reports that the richest man in the state of Alabama, Auburn super booster Jimmy Rain, is targeting Bob Stoops to replace Gus Malzahn if Malzahn fails to beat Alabama this season. If that's the expectation you have for Gus Malzahn, then he's gone and Bob Stoops is going to be the coach.
I totally agree.
Because I don't think that's a fair expectation at all. I actually think Gus Malzahn's done a pretty good job. But if your expectation right now is that he has to beat Alabama or else he's gone, you might as well just fire his ass now because that's not happening and that's extremely unfair if that's what it is.
I mean, it is and it isn't. I mean, it's unfair because you're placing everything on one game.
Well, that is Auburn, though, right?
That's but it is fair in that. I mean, what are they saying in Michigan? What are they saying in Michigan right now?
You think if Jim Harbaugh loses to Ohio State, they're going to?
They're
fire
already
him?
Saying it.
All right. Well, they're idiots.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying it's fair
and
in
let
that
me tell you, this.
You get that they have a in many respects they have a one game season. So does Auburn.
If Jim Harbaugh gets fired at Michigan, and every single NFL team outside of maybe five isn't calling his agent and offering him $10 million to come coach their NFL team, then there shouldn't even be allowed to be an exec. You look at his NFL record, I want to say it's like 42-17 with three conference title appearances.
But beat Ohio State.
But he can't beat Ohio State.
I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm saying this is the way it is in college football. You know that.
All right, that's going to be dangerous. If Jim Harbaugh
Auburn loses
to
Alabama consistently, it could be. I understand it. I get it.
It's just crazy. Landry Locker, John Lopez, In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. My man Figgy Fig, being the best in the world at what he do. Coming up next, why the Texans aren't just looking at a win on Sunday, but they're looking 3-1 in the face. Lunchtime on In the Loop next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.